The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is NBA Draft Day. We have been in this position through the years where it's NBA Draft Day, and last year at this time, we were so pump psych geeked. I say that just kind of blah. No, we were pump psych geeked last year because it was the DeAndre Ayton show. We knew that DeAndre Ayton was going to be here, and we felt as though 365 days and change ago, that this would be the turning point. Instead, the Suns went backwards. And so today, if I put anything up about the Suns and draft, it is Robert Sarver needs to sell the team. Boom. Well, that's not what we're talking about today. Well, they can do whatever, and Robert Sarver still needs to sell the team. Boom. Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about today. All right, Casey Jacobson's going to be with us here in a couple of minutes, former Suns guard. Does a great job on Pac-12 Network, FS1 college basketball analyst. He's done some work with the Suns, too, before and after games. And I want to talk to him about some things that may sound a little odd, a little different, like who is in better shape for the long haul? The long haul, okay? The Lakers or the Suns? Better shape, long haul, long view, long vision, long play. Are the Suns in a position where you can make the argument that DeAndre is Amare a year removed, that Mikal Bridges has some Sean Marion in him, that Devin Booker is this star guard? And can you go through those comparisons and contrasts? I want to talk to Casey about that. But at the same time, it's really not that hard. Kevin Johnson, Steve Nash, teams wins. If you don't have a point guard. Like tonight, Eric and I are going to be at the Suns tonight. And I don't know about you, partner, but if I sit there tonight and they draft a point guard at number 6, which it sounds like they are going to do as we sit here today, it's just kind of like, okay, it's a rookie point guard. Got it. And what is going to happen next week? What is going to happen on the 30th in free agency? If they make a trade tonight, and I don't see a trade for a point guard now that Mike Conley is off the board, is there really somebody out there? Are we going to go orgasmic over Darren Collison? I mean, come on. So I don't know about you, Eric, but I'm kind of just looking at this one tonight like, yeah, it's a draft.
I'm just cringing at the fact that if the Suns take a North Carolina point guard, it's just going to open up so many nightmares of past North Carolina point guards.
Oh, come on.
That were
Kendall Marshall
by the
was
Suns
great.
In the first round.
Kendall Marshall was awesome.
But Kendall Marshall couldn't shoot and apparently
couldn't play.
Apparently, the modern day point guard at North Carolina is more of a shooter and less of a passer. So if we could just combine the two point guards.
But, it's maddening. Like yesterday, where was I? No, 2 days ago. I was at an advertising agency. It's something that we do in order to self-fund this. So I'm at an ad agency and I'm sitting with people that have been in the market for 30 years, even longer than that. And so they know. And then one of them just innocently asks me, and these are people that have disposable income with kids. They're in their 40s and 50s. And they said, so Brad, when was the last time the Suns were in a playoff game? Which is for me is like, boom, May 29, 2010. Wow, you rolled that right off really quick. Yeah, because I've been studying it. I use it on this show. It's like the death clock of how many days since they've been in a playoff game.
And here's the problem.
Yeah.
The Kings are better. The Lakers are better.
Minnesota's better.
Minnesota's better.
Yeah.
Portland's a playoff team.
Oklahoma City.
Denver's a playoff team. Oklahoma City's a playoff team.
Houston.
The Mavericks are probably going to
be a playoff team.
We haven't even gotten to the Suns, and we've listed 9 or 10 teams just
Golden
right there.
Golden State. They're
Golden
hurt.
Golden State. Still can't rule them out.
Clippers, Lakers.
Thank you. Clippers, Lakers. So,
like, what are we doing here?
We're going to celebrate the fact that the Suns went from 19 wins to like 26 wins and still missed the playoffs by double digit games.
I know.
Like, that's the reality where we live.
Even if they did 36 wins,
it'd be great. I can't see them winning 36
games.
No,
but if they did, even if they improved like by 17 wins, people would be saying, oh my gosh, but it's still another year off the clock. It's another year of asking season ticket holders to put down your money. It's another year of investing your time into games.
They're going
to
go a decade without making the playoffs. I mean, that's just the reality.
I agree with you. But, you know, it's like So, like, the Cardinals are sitting there with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, and
they stay in the news every week. The Cardinals are in the news
every week. Every week
for later in the show.
That is later in the show. But it's the idea of, well, we have a young, exciting quarterback. Okay, last year was a young, exciting quarterback.
Well, initially it wasn't. It was a veteran, savvy, injury riddled, but
that's
probably
with a new
somewhat
coach.
Productive with a new coach, a new offense coordinator. Yeah.
But at least it's not like that gap between Kurt and Carson.
I mean, they're all in on Kyler Murray. They are all in, so we will see.
Yeah. So, but like on the Suns end, Eric, if they go a decade, you know there's going to come a point sometime in the next calendar year where Devin is going to sit there after a game is over and they got their heads whacked again, and he's going to say something like, I'm not sure I want to be here. But I don't know how he's going to phrase it and how he's going to couch it. And he's going to talk to his agents about it.
And no one is going to blame Devin Booker for saying that.
It's going
to
happen.
No one is going to, and no one should.
And it's not like, guys, I'm sitting here being negative. It's just a fact. Like, Damian Lillard somehow shows up in Space Jam 2, right? Damian Lillard's sitting up there in Portland. He's got a nice little team. At some point, he's going to want to get to the mega city. At some point, these guys, like, I think it's cool Diana Taurasi is going to be in Space Jam. I see all this hate of females in Space Jam 2. No, it's just enough. Stop. I think Devin Booker is going to be one of those guys that wants the limelight and wants the glitz and wants the glamour. And DeAndre Ayton's going to be the next one that wants that.
Or go to a team that has pieces. Like, Devin Booker will look at Dallas and be like, wow, they have Luka and they have KP. I'd be a nice third option there with a nice spread floor and an open style of play.
But don't you think Devin Booker has a little bit of New York or LA in him?
Sure.
He doesn't have Oklahoma City in him. Doesn't have Toronto in him.
No, no.
He's got Miami in him.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's – he doesn't have Charlotte in him.
No.
I don't know who has Charlotte in him.
But I don't think he needs to go to, like, a mega market. Like, I can see Devin Booker playing for the Rockets.
I can see Devin Booker playing for the Rockets. I can't see him playing for the Pacers.
I'd agree with that.
I could see where...
I mean, he could play for Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's close to New York.
He could go to one of the...
Couldn't play
LA
for
teams.
Washington.
No.
No, that's not happening. So I just feel like tonight is just kind of this, if you draft a rookie point guard again... And you bring in a guard like Darren Collison, who's just a guy, and you can sit there and say, well, look at his numbers, look at his stats. It's on a piece of paper. What does he do in April, May, and June? You have to have players to get through the regular season. Give me a roster of guys that can play in April, May, and June. Okay? That's where it comes down to. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicornell. Protect what matters most. You do it with life insurance. Yesterday, I was at a terrific event, Positive Coaching Alliance in downtown Phoenix. Sagicor was one of the presenting sponsors, gave away an award, bunch of awards, actually. Scholarships to kids are up on stage, talking about making a difference, protecting what matters most. Families that sit there and see their kids being given a scholarship by Sagicor, that's really cool. Positive Coaching Alliance, very cool. Nice event, downtown Phoenix. Sagicor is a company that gives back to the community. Go sit in an ASU game and you're going to see Sagicor logos around the stadium. You will. You'll see them at their basketball games. They have a big partnership with ASU. For me, I look at Sagicor and say, I've been able to help people out since I got my license. Got about a half dozen people right now or companies that I'm meeting with, talking with, trying to help through and connect dots. Guys, wherever you are in the space in life, you got to go out and get after it. You're in your early 20s and you don't have life insurance. What are you doing? Get on it. It's a terrific way for down the road in your life. You're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. The older you get, the more expensive it becomes. So protect what matters most and get on it now at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. A couple other things then, Casey Jacobson. I don't know why the Diamondbacks can't beat Colorado. Torrey Lovello sounded pissed last night. He should be. They've lost 7 in a row to the Rockies. Cody Bellinger hit his 24th last night. Cody Bellinger is starting to do things that you look at here in mid-June and say, okay, if he keeps up this pace, and the Dodgers are up like 11 now in the West. It's crazy. If he keeps up this pace, these are Ruth-esque numbers. that Cody Bellinger is chasing. And last year, he struggled. He would chase balls that were in the 480, the 602. Actually, he's in L.A., so what would that be? The 619, the 818, yeah, 312, in those area codes. He was chasing guys all. He had like a butterfly net. This year, more discipline and just killing it. And also today is USA Women's World Cup. They take on Sweden. This game doesn't mean anything. They've already advanced the knockout round, but it means something. If they don't play well, guys like me and on television are going to sit there and say, is there something wrong with the women's team? And the ratings aren't great compared to the men's. I don't care. I will be watching. I think it's really cool. Casey Jacobson is next on the draft. Then Goody at the Movies. Goody and I kind of did Toy Story 4 last week with Bill. I just brought it up and he ran with it. That's the problem with Bill and I. So I got to kind of reel him back in and go a different angle on that. Our chairman of the board today is Devin Henry, the terrific Devin. He is here. Thanks for being with us. We are self-funded. People like you're about to see make sure that we can do this on the website. So please support them. We're back after this timeout. Welcome back. So now with the sixth pick in the NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns are going to select Casey Jacobson. We'll have the answer to that. He joins us with FS1 and Pac-12 Network. Do you like how I set that up? None of this finish an interview with, hey, Casey, what are they going to do? I'm just going to go off the top, the front with you. I'm not going to bury the lead. What are they doing at number six, Casey?
Holy mackerel. It's good to be on with you, Brad. I'm hoping that Coby White, the freshman point guard from North Carolina, is still available, which, you know, may or may not be the case, but that's what I'm hoping for. I think the Suns need a point guard, and I think Coby White is one of the more dynamic point guards. I don't think Darius Garland is going to be there at number six. Darius Garland, the kid out of Vanderbilt that only played four games. He's highly coveted, and from all of my sources and friends, they say that there's a lot of teams that have their eye on him, even though he's coming off an injury. Because of that, I don't think Darius Garland will be even an option. But I do think Coby White could be a really good consolation prize, if you want to call him that. Dynamic player who really got better, Brad. I watched North Carolina quite a bit this year. And in November and December, he was okay. And in January and February, when their ACC regular season started to turn up, I felt like he became their go-to clutch performer. He really grew as a leader and a playmaker, and he's also got deep shooting range, which is only going to get better with years of experience in the NBA.
Casey Jacobson with us, FS1 and Pac-12 Network. Okay, so let's just go down this idea of the ability for the Suns to trade up in this draft. Do you see that they have the ability to do that?
Well, yeah. I mean, most teams do. It just depends on what they're willing to give up, Brad. But, the Suns do have some pieces that they can give up. They have another pick in this. Is it the 32nd pick as well?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they do. But I don't think picking six is terrible. I think, people want to talk about this draft being a top heavy draft. I would say that's true with every draft, Brad. The top one, two, and three picks are usually where you want to be. I do think that being number six isn't a bad spot at all. So I don't know what it would take for them to get up and do a third or a fourth pick. But, if it's out there, absolutely. You pull the trigger on it.
Okay, so, and I'm going down this line of questioning, Casey, because they've been in this position many times. And last year they weren't, obviously. And I do think they have a glut of players, and they do have a pick that you sit there at six and say, okay, if Josh Jackson, TJ Warren, six, can you do anything with that to move up a slot or two if there's somebody that you really like? The opposite side of it is, would it be in their best interest to trade back? And do you see that as a way? I do not with this team because they've traded back into the middle of the first round too many times. If it's the ability to execute a major trade or do something in free agency, two areas that they've not done here, I'm trying to go through the scenarios of either trading up or trading back or standing pat. So can you trade back with this pick? Would you do that?
No.
All right.
I wouldn't. Look, the Suns need a lot of help, Brad.
Yep.
So will trading back help them get that help? To me, no. Trading up would help. So I would rather my priority would be to trade up or to take the pick. Trading back wouldn't interest me much because of all the needs, especially at the point guard position that the Suns have, especially three-point shooting. My goodness, if they can address a couple of those needs, I'm going to be so much more excited about watching this Suns team play in the future.
Well, and also play some defense. I mean, the shooting percentage by opponents was just – but you could also trade six and just say, okay, we're going to bring in a veteran, and I don't know who that veteran – I can throw names at you. You could throw names at me, but – could you trade six and be better off than bringing yet another rookie here that you've got to grow and mold and build with?
I hear you on that. I mean, watching the playoffs, not even talking about the finals, but just playoffs in general, how many first, second, or third-year players are actually playing real minutes?
None.
For any of the good teams? Hardly. I can't even think of hardly any.
Right.
So I understand what you're saying, but, you know, what the Suns have been doing is, you know, drafting in the lottery for the last, you know, whatever, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And kind of like what the Lakers were doing. So I live in Southern California, and the Lakers, after Kobe retired, and kind of they said, all right, we're going to build from scratch. We're going to build through the draft. And they've done that. And all of a sudden they said, you know what? Scrap that plan. We're going to go after LeBron James. We're going to go after any of the free, like Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. And it was kind of a mismatch of people. But what they were trying to do is contend right away. So that's a question for the front office of the Phoenix Suns, Brad. If they want to continue to be patient and build around Ayton and Booker, then holding these draft picks and continuing to develop them, although it's a slow and painful process for the fans, look, that's a way to do it. But if you're going to say, you know what, like Devin Booker, we think he's ready to be a star. We need to get a veteran point guard in here to speed up the process. Then you can do that. But, I mean, these are the questions, Brad, that make me glad that I'm not a general manager and I'm only just an analyst. I can just talk about these college players and all that stuff, which is really fun.
But you're good at it, and I think you could be a GM. Talking with Casey Jacobson with the Fox, FS1, Pac-12 Network. Who's in better shape from a franchise standpoint long-term, the L.A. Lakers or the Phoenix Suns?
The Lakers, and here's why. I don't know if there's been a 4 to 5 year period where the Lakers haven't figured out a way to get back on the front page of the news page of the NBA. The Lakers are such a huge brand that even if they go through 3, 4, 5 years of bad basketball, bad teams, they still figure out a way to get a megastar, and they've done just that. I was born in 1981 in Los Angeles, and I can't remember a time in Southern California, an extended period of time, where the Lakers weren't at the top of people's minds. The question that you're asking, Brad, is did the Lakers sell their soul?
Yes.
For short-term gain?
Yes.
And, okay, so the answer to that would be no. So with LeBron, LeBron's out of his prime, but he's still a really good player. He averaged like 29, 8, and 8.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty stinking good. Anthony Davis is about to enter his prime as long as he can stay healthy. He's 26 years old, I believe. They're going to go after another star who should be in their prime. So Lakers are going to be good for at least 4 to 5 years. And their track record has shown that even if Anthony Davis doesn't sign a 6-7 year extension at the end of his contract, then they'll go out and find somebody else. That's what they do. So the Suns, on the flip side of that coin, have kind of been stuck in neutral for at least since
2010, May 29th, 2010 was their last playoff game, Casey.
Holy mackerel.
May 29th, 2010. Okay.
I'm writing that down. That's hard to wrap my mind around, Brad.
Yeah.
That's hard. So that's going back to like your track record and kind of maybe a free agent destination. Do people view, and when I say people, I mean the actual NBA players, the studs that you need to get in order to have real success in the NBA. Do they view the Phoenix Suns as an organization that they go to and win, be in the playoffs every year, and contend for championships? But, you know, hey, the good news is I, when I went to Stanford in the early 2000s, the Golden State Warriors were one of the, if not the worst, organization team in the NBA for many years, and they turned it around. So it's possible, but it doesn't happen overnight. Unless you are the Los Angeles Lakers, who have proven that they can turn their franchise around overnight.
So here's the thing on it. I'll debate you on it. I asked that question about who's in better shape long term. Again, I'm banking on they're finally going to figure it out over here, and we're not going to see the revolving door of general managers and coach. I actually think James Jones is doing some very good things, and I actually think that Monty Williams was a good hire over here. Mm-hmm. I could be dead flat wrong. It won't be the first time. It certainly won't be the last. But they've drafted all of these young players, and whether they fit or don't fit, I think right now they just got a bunch of wings. They haven't had a point guard forever. If they take a rookie point guard, I'm going to bang my head against the wall because, again, we're sitting here waiting. Like Golden State, to your point, the Warriors are horrid, and the Suns tried the Amari for Steph Curry deal. It was done, and Don Nelson woke up the next morning and says, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like where they are here, that there's some pieces that remind me of when the Suns were just coming into their own. Amari, DeAndre Ayton, is there a comparison there? I think there's a little bit of a young, really raw athletic player. I'm not saying Mikal Bridges is Sean Marion, but I see some things out on the floor that, like, you know, okay, I see that. Devin Booker is Devin Booker. So I don't care that Devin gets 50 in a loss or 70 in a loss. He can get 100 points, and I'm not impressed because they don't win many games. If you go get another rookie point guard, I'm just feeling like the Suns are going to continue to say, you know what, we're just content rolling a team out on the floor. And I guess when on the Lakers end, when you trade so many picks, and you're right, they are the Lakers. They can go out and try and figure it out. But I don't think the general manager over there is as savvy. I thought Griff pulled a fast one on him, to be honest with you, in my view. So I know it's a crazy argument to throw out there, but if they could just figure it out over here, I think they've got some pieces in place that could put them in a position to be in a better better spot than the Lakers in 5 years. We don't know. We don't know if LeBron's going to be around 5 years from now.
Sure.
So that's my point. It's a long rant.
But I'm totally with you. And you bring up a good point. Like, for the Suns fans who are listening to us right now, what are the best eras that the Suns have ever had? Or maybe modern era.
The Casey Jacobson eras. Come on. You know this.
Absolutely. So the modern era, I mean, before, like, or since I was born, 1980s. So the two best eras they had were Kevin Johnson at the point guard and Charles Barkley and Dan Majerle and Tom Chambers, of course, all those guys, and Steve Nash.
Right.
The point guard was the key cog, and it remains the key cog in today's NBA unless you have a player as transcendent as LeBron James. LeBron James is the outlier. He's not the rule. He's the outlier. You have LeBron. Maybe you don't need a point guard. You have Michael Jordan. Maybe you don't need a point guard. But for the rest of us mere mortals, okay, you must have a savvy point guard who's been through some wars and is an extension of the coach on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is, okay? I can't think of a organization that had real long-term success without a first ballot Hall of Famer, top 10 all-time player that didn't have a good point guard. So your point is well taken, Brad. A rookie point guard, they don't win in the playoffs. They don't lead their team to championships or even contend. They're not even in the conversation, and we've seen so many. So yep. I get it where you're at. I understand.
Right, before I get you out of here, the player that you really like who's not named Zion in this draft.
So, well, I think DeAndre Hunter reminds me of a poor man's Kawhi Leonard a little bit. I think he has...
It's pretty good.
I think he has the opportunities. Look, when I watched DeAndre Hunter, it reminds me of Kawhi Leonard at San Diego State, although DeAndre is a little bit better of a three-point shooter already. But he plays both ends of the floor, and he's a massive guard. He's got big hands. He's pretty athletic, finishes above the rim, but he plays D, and he's got a really nice skill set. He's just an all-around player and a huge at a really big physical size. But so many of these other players, like a Jackson Hayes, for instance, from Texas, super athletic, but I have no idea if he's going to be any good. There's so many players I look at, and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, Rui Hachimura is another one, Brad, from the player from Gonzaga. I have no idea. Like, I think Rui can be good because he's got a really nice jump shot already at the forward position. And the NBA game is more geared towards players like him.
Right.
Mobile, versatile, kind of positionless. He can guard a wing, but he can also guard a four man. So, like, I think Rui Hachimura could be a really nice value pick for a team, you know, maybe the 12, 13, 14 pick. So I've watched him a ton at Gonzaga, and I think he's tailor-made for the NBA. But, Brett, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he has the mental capacity to handle what the NBA is going to throw at these guys. That was one thing that I just wasn't prepared for, man. The NBA is a mental and physical grind, and only the strong survive.
All right. But you and I both know this, okay? We can't believe that this player was here for us. We are so excited to have this player here. They're not going to say what you just said. I don't know if this guy can play or not, but he's on our team.
Yeah,
you know, he can't play dead, but he's on our team. That's just the way it goes. You know, it's every player is going to be in the Hall of Fame on draft night. That's the way it goes.
I know. So,
good stuff. I'll let you go off that. Thank you as always.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great week, man.
You as well. Casey Jacobson with us. Fox Sports, FS1, Pac-12 Network. That was good stuff. It's good stuff. Goody is going to come up a little bit later on in the show. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Casey Jacobson. Goody at the movies coming up here in a few minutes. Do I really have to talk about Robert Kimdiche today? It's June. But it's I don't know what it is with Scottsdale, Cardinal players, speeding, suspended license, athletes, and I shouldn't even say just Cardinal players. I mean, we remember Steph Marbury doing his 110 and his, what was the color of that? It was like this cherry red convertible. Was it a Lamborghini? It was a really nice car, but it was like 2 a.m. and he's blood alcohol content. It was just like, come on, we're at it again. But so, here's the thing with the Cardinals. They don't have a whole lot to deal with in terms of depth to begin with. And when Robert Kimdiche goes out and gets popped on a suspended license, and this is not the first time that Robert has disappointed the franchise on the field, we all know what's gone on there. So we're supposed to sit here and say, well, you know, it happened in the offseason. It's really nothing. This is going to be last chance you for Robert Kimdiche. I don't know how often we go through last chance yous with him. It feels like he is always, always under the microscope as a first round pick. And when I hear the broadcast of the game, I know that Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley are wanting him to do well. I get it. Nobody should be sitting there saying, boy, I hope this guy blows today. But he hasn't done well. And now it's another situation off the field. And Cliff Kingsbury comes in, and he's already under the white-hot microscope of, is he going to be able to coach in the NFL or not? And they don't have a whole lot of depth. And he does take up some space, and he is a former first-round pick. But at some point, you just say, enough. The thing is, I feel like if it's Patrick Peterson, you can't say enough because he's a former first-round pick, too. His situation is different. He quit on his team, didn't want to be here. That's my view. He apologized, and I'm not going to change my stance. Oh, well, you know, when we get Patrick Peterson back, these are fans. When we get Double P back, man, we're going to be all that and a bag of chips. And it's like, really? You're going to count on somebody who quit on you last year? Who doesn't really want to be here? Isn't all in when times are the worst, which they were last October? I don't want people on my team that don't want to be here when we're getting our heads kicked in. I don't. And in sports through the years, you can be frustrated and understand that your time span is limited on the court, on the field. And this whole thing of guys wanting to play for winning franchises, I do respect that too. I do. A lot of times, though, the professional will do it behind closed doors. In this day and age, it's just simple to pick up your phone and say, you know what, I want out, or I'm being slept on, or all this nonsense. And in Robert Kimdiche's case, going back to him, and I want to move on, I want to spend this much time on him. It's like, what will it take? And will this be a guy that ends up moving on, going to another team, and ends up killing it? And people are like, see, it was just the Cardinals. Because that happens. Michael Floyd, it didn't happen, for those who were all upset. But it's another first-round pick. Michael Floyd, miss. Robert Kimdiche, miss. You can't keep having misses and getting things turned around. Oh, we landed this player in free agency. Yeah, because you screwed up the pick. It's frustrating that the police blotter always seems to be working here in the Valley with all these pro sports teams. We should not be doing that much police blotter, but in the case of Robert Kimdiche, yeah, it's going to happen. All right. On the draft tonight, I don't know if it used to be the draft parties were a big deal. It used to be that fans would gather around. I actually thought about, Eric and I are going to be together at the Suns tonight. I kicked around the idea of, you know what, I'm going to go out to Marley's or I'm going to go to somewhere and watch the draft with some fans. I did the NFL draft with that in mind. And all that showed up were Packer fans and Lions fans and fans of other teams and very few Cardinal fans. They were all out at the stadium. And of course, when they're all together, they're going to say this is the greatest thing ever. I just feel like tonight's going to be indifferent. I'm trying to find a different angle. If you guys have something, hit me on Twitter about it. You know, what should the angle be tonight? Do we even know, Eric, who is going to be representing the Suns there tonight? Is it?
I don't know.
It's because I know they had they did the lottery.
Right. With DeAndre Ayton.
And that didn't go well.
I don't know who is. Is
it just going to be the usual suspects? They're there on the phone. They're going to be James Jones sitting up in the war room. Yesterday, when I walked into the arena for the Positive Coaching Alliance event, it was right after the Mike Conley trade happened. And you know, Eric, when you walk in the garage into the entryway, you can see the glass windows of the Suns office.
Yep.
There's like 10 people that were standing there looking at a TV. And I don't know, it didn't look like they were looking at tape. I was trying really hard to, spy on what was
another team in the West that keeps getting better, the Utah Jazz.
Yeah. And you know what, though? Mike Conley, to me, it wasn't the $32 million because the dollars, you can sit there and say, oh my gosh, so expensive, so this, so that. Unless it really cap hamstrings you, the need here for a point guard is so obvious. But he's not the guy long term. I don't want a rental.
I don't really know how many of these veteran point guards even want to come to Phoenix. I mean, if the money is most important, they'll probably be able to get a sizable haul from the Suns, but do you want to play for a team that wins 19 games a year?
Okay, so to that end, if you're the agent of a player, hey, Phoenix needs a point guard, you can make some money there, you get to play with Devin Booker, you get to play with DeAndre Ayton.
It's a nice city, good lifestyle.
Yeah, it's, easy airport, right. Only an hour from L.A., they have T.J. Warren and Josh Jackson, they have some nice pieces there.
Well, for now, they have T.J. Warren and Josh Jackson.
Right. But they have Dragan Bender. I mean, who wouldn't?
For now, they have Dragan Bender.
Who wouldn't? They had Alex Len for a long time. Another first-round high pick.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Who ended on a tear last year with the Hawks, by the way.
No one really noticed that.
But he averaged like 30 points a game over his last four or five games.
But so my point is, if the agent is telling the player, or is the first line from the agent to the player, the owner there is not committed to winning. There's a big difference. Like yesterday, I was talking with some business people that would know. These are business people that would know around the Valley who said that Robert is close to adding another investor. And the person's name that they mentioned is somebody who's been involved in sports who I think is committed to winning. It's not Larry Fitzgerald.
It's great that Colangelo is going to be re-involved with the Suns.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing. Let's get this done.
Front page. does it all come back to the agent saying, there's some nice players there, but you don't want to be a part of the culture or you don't the ownership or whatever the angle might be? Mm-hmm. Because on the surface, wouldn't this be an attractive place for a point guard? Dude, you're going to have a really good shooter alongside of you in Devin Booker. You're going to have a big man in DeAndre Ayton. You've got, if Monty Williams and James Jones come out of this deal today, with just a draft pick. Okay. But if they go through free agency, like if we're sitting here July 6th and nothing other than the draft pick has been done, I will throw my hands up in the air. I will. Because it means you guys struck out on free agency. You couldn't convince anybody to come here. You couldn't figure out how to make a major deal. If it's trading Josh Jackson or TJ Warren for a pick, what does that really do? Make something of substance happen. I'm not saying to make a trade for the sake of making a trade, but please do something of substance rather than with the sixth pick. And then we sit there and say, hey, that's what they did in the offseason. That's crazy. And you know, then Robert is sitting there on the back end of it. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Last summer, last July, he called Steve Nash and said, come here, be the general manager while Ryan McDonough was still here. So Ryan was fired last July. We have to get through Robert and the first part of October, because every first part of October, he does something with this team. He has Bledsoe or he has McDonough and they don't get off to good starts. So today's just another piece of the pie, piece of the puzzle.
I just have one quick thing to intervene here with you.
Yes.
Chubba
yes.
Purdy is going to be announcing his commitment tomorrow, the Perry quarterback.
Really? So. What's he do? What's he all about? I haven't seen him.
It's Brock Purdy's little brother. I don't really know much about him.
Does he play
Brock Purdy
much?
Was never big enough or strong enough or fast enough to play Division I football. I don't know what happened to him. Does, but I guess
so where does he go to school?
I don't know. Some small school in the Midwest.
Oh no, this kid Chubba.
Oh, Chubba? Yeah, again, some small school out in the East Valley probably.
Oh.
I recognize the last name, but I'm not really
familiar. Have we done
with
enough on
story.
Chubba Purdy?
I don't know. I just thought you'd want to know that. So.
Well, his father did call earlier today.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But
well, I guess we'll all just have to wait until tomorrow.
I would say that if he is announcing tomorrow.
Which he said on Twitter he is. So.
I would say that means that Arizona State is still in the conversation. I would say that. I don't know that. I'm only connecting dots of being around and hearing, and you know, ASU laid it out there pretty clearly that last week that, but well, actually by July 1st, we have to know. Mm-hmm. And it was June 1st. And in all seriousness here, and it was June 1st, lie in the sand. Well, now it's going to be July 1st. Then they bring in this quarterback from Louisiana last week. And they go do the world tour, the Purdy's do. They go to Louisville. They go to Purdue. They go to Kansas State. They go to Kansas. They go to Michigan State. They come back. Rob Likens has developed a very good relationship with the family. There's not been a whole lot of Herm Edwards interaction from my understanding on this one. It's all Rob Likens. Rob Likens has built a bridge. Where's the best chance to go play and all of that. In my view, he should... In my view, Kansas State would be a good move for him. It would. There's some things going on there. The new regime, wide open. Louisville would not be a bad fit for him. You're Arizona State and you're sitting here screaming, why wouldn't he come to ASU? Guys, you're supposedly all in on Jaden Daniels, okay? Who's going to be a true freshman. So is there a logjam at quarterback? Like if Chubba Purdy commits, is Joey Yellen already on the first Greyhound out of town tomorrow? So it's good. I'll be happy for him wherever he decides to go. Wherever he decides to go. Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and even though Bill and I kind of sort of did a little bit on Toy Story 4 last week, because I just mentioned it and Bill took it and ran with it like to the end zone, 80 yards to the house. Bill housed me on Toy Story 4. We're going to go back to it a little bit, even though it's like Godfather 3 is what Bill said last week. Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, Gannett, Chief, Film, and Media Critic. I want to start with Donald Trump and his kickoff rally. And Bill... we're back in business. It is political season. It is time, my man. How are you?
I don't think it ever stopped being campaign season for him. that's what I was thinking when I was watching this. I mean, he had this rally in Orlando, And, you know, of course, when he made his announcement, famously, it was in Trump Tower, and he came down the escalator, and, you know, everybody thought it was a joke and everything. But, you know, look, here we are. but this was sort of a throwback to his campaign, when he'd have these rallies with these just insane people all around him, and it's like it was almost kind of like revisiting a dream or something. It was like, it's like, did that really happen? And it's like, wow, not only did it happen, it's going to happen again.
Okay, so it's like,
I'm going to cover this thing.
It's like a AC/DC concert. Everybody is there to see AC/DC, right? And so there's nobody there that is going to be anti-Donald. As I watched it, I felt the same as you, that these rallies, I feel like the people behind him on stage are placed there strategically to have it look a certain way.
Question.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And look, it's fine. It's their right. That's their guy. They want to be there and they want to support him. It's no different than people going to a Cardinal game. And if you go in the upper deck of an NFL stadium to a team that's supported, it's not very pretty. I think there's some of that on the political side too. So that didn't bother me as much. It's just, it feels early. Like, I can't believe we're already back in the swing of things on political and in campaigning, kickoff rallies.
The NBC is hosting two Democratic debates next week.
Primetime?
Over two nights. There's so many candidates that they gotta do it over two nights.
Any of them have a shot, though, Bill? You know better than I do. Any of them have a shot at this point?
Oh, sure. I mean, but it'll, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be somebody who we haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, they're sort of a long shot now. And, you know, somebody will come out of one of these debates and they'll have some momentum. Somebody will do really well and they'll have some momentum for a while and then somebody won't. You know, it'll be interesting, though. Right? It'll be interesting. Joe Biden will finally speak, you know, to have to speak to the media since he's actually participating in this. I used to like it.
Yeah.
2016 made me like it less. and now it's, but one of the reasons is, I think Trump is certainly an interesting story, but the division between everything, you can't write about it. Everybody always says, oh, I want you to, you know, write objectively, write the truth. But that.
All that the truth is.
I think.
Yeah, all the truth is just what they think. Right. No, I get it.
And it's that's a little maddening, and that's always been the case. I mean, that's not like a new thing. I mean, that's a case in sports writing too, but now it's not just I disagree with you. It's like I disagree with you. You're an idiot.
And I hate you.
And if it comes to it, maybe I'll just have to beat you up, you know?
Yeah, that's so much. I saw your hot dog story, by the way, about Arizona has the most hot dogs consumed. I thought that was that yours? I saw you retweet it today. It was very entertaining. Goody at the movies with us. All right, so let's go to Round of Your Life. Round of Your Life is one of the movies. Tell us about Round of Your Life. Is this any good?
No. it's interesting. It's one of these sort of faith-based movies. It's a religious movie about this kid who his dad is a professional golfer and he is sort of a ne'er-do-well that people are in like these religious movies. Like he plays too many video games and stuff. He's not like out like doing anything really bad, which is fine. And that's fine. And he sabotages his own chances to make the golf team, which of course makes his dad mad. And his dad goes out and drives around to think about it and gets hit by a car. And then he's in a coma. So the kid has to make the team and wants to win state. And the thing about this movie is the actual religious stuff, the faith-based stuff is handled better than anything else. Because sometimes in movies like this, it's really heavy-handed and all this. But the whole thing in this is just like, hey, why don't you pray a little bit? Maybe that'll work out. Or why don't you join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? At least you'll have some support. And it's like, okay. And it does. And they do support him. But it's not over the top. And it's not, you know anything like that. But it's just that the rest of the story is just awful. I mean, you know exactly what's going to happen. And
he wins the Masters.
And all that sort of thing.
He pays for the heart transplant. Right?
That boy was Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that's it. Toy Story 4. Now that you've had a chance to marinate, and you said last week it's like making Godfather 3. Are you still of that stance, or are you like, you know what, it's a kid's movie, it's fine. If you're just picking up the series now with your 7 or 8 year old, it's great.
It is really good. It's like making Godfather 3 in that they didn't need to make it. They didn't need to mess with the perfect thing they had. But the execution is not like Godfather 3.
Which should have been cut off.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. Yeah, I don't deny that. Although, they take it to some interesting places. It's going to make a gazillion dollars.
Yeah,
and people are going to love it. But it's sort of like the new Bruce Springsteen album. The people that were going to love it, were going to love it no matter what.
Got it. No, that's true.
I have a question for you.
Ask. I like this.
Diana Taurasi evidently has been cast in Space Jam 2, right?
Yes. It's great.
And I think it's great. Yeah. And I've been thinking about this, and I might write something about this. I think this is good. Look, these are silly movies and everything, but they still talk about Space Jam. Particularly NBA players still talk about it.
Yeah.
And she is, without question, one of the greatest basketball players in the history of women's basketball.
Yep.
She's been playing underneath our nose, and this is going to raise her profile like nothing else. I mean, this is going to make her famous in a way that being one of the best players of all time couldn't.
Yep. No, that's...
You agree?
Sure. I mean, look, the original Space Jam had Muggsy Bogues, who was 5 foot nothing, had Larry Johnson, who had a speaking role in it, and that was about it. Charles and Michael, it was his buddies, and the cartoons were woven in. I was the original play-by-play voice, Bill, of the Mercury. Jerry Colangelo said, why don't you do the Mercury? I'd really like to hear you do some basketball. I did it for 3 years. People didn't like the WNBA. I liked the WNBA. They couldn't make layups. The game was played below the rim. And so the game is still, I think, in the same light. But you have players like Diana Taurasi. When I did the games, it was the end of Nancy Lieberman. She was out there playing. Cheryl Miller was the coach. I see Diana now, and she is a super, super mega star playing in a league that still, and the WNBA people get all worked up about this, but it's a fact. Go look at how many commissioners the league has had. Go look at the television ratings year to year to year. Look at your product and say, the league has been supporting you financially. At some point, you've got to be able to support yourself. And the league, it's all been out of shape about this. And Diana's sitting over there as a mega worldwide star in a league that just simply hasn't grabbed the huge masses. It's grabbed masses. It's got its niche. But it's not like they're playing in front of 15,000 to 20,000 a game. And the WNBA executives get all worked up about this. Numbers don't lie. Butts in seats, television ratings don't lie. And so Diana can go overseas and make twice, three, four times as much money playing in Russia than she can playing here in the States. That's another part of it. WNBA underfunds their players. So, no, she is going to be risen to a level she's never been at before. It'll be great.
And about time, right?
Sure.
But let me – one other thing, and then we got to go. I would say that you can make the argument that she, along with Larry Fitzgerald and Goldschmidt when you were here, have been for – the last 8-10 years, the best and most consistent professional athletes in Phoenix. And I think she's in terms of what she means to her sport.
I would say Diana, nobody over at the Suns. Devin Booker hasn't done it long enough, and he's been on a just rotten team. Larry's been here through he's been here so long, 15, 16 years, and he's played on some lousy teams. You know, David Johnson is starting to emerge. It'll be interesting to see if he does it this year. But I would agree with you on that. You know, Goldschmidt was the face of the Diamondbacks after the Luis and Randy and Kurt and that era. She's a Mount Rushmore, sure, as you look at it right now. If we're talking like the last 5 years. But Bill, you know this. Go downstairs to the sports room and say, how many views are we getting on our WNBA material?
I know.
You know,
but that's why I think this is. I think that's why this is so cool.
No, I agree. I do agree with you. I think if she were on a bigger platform, this will elevate her. She'll be on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts, not because she plays for the Phoenix Mercury, but because she's in this movie with LeBron James. She's going to get Entertainment Tonight. She's going to be in Variety. She's going to be in Vanity Fair. She's going to be in all sorts of places she's never been in before because of this. So
I agree, and good for her.
I feel much better now. I really like that segment. So have a good day.
Right, I'm glad to help.
See ya. Get out of here. Later.
All right.
It's Goody at the Movies. AZ Central Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic. That started out a little slow. I wasn't quite sure where we were going with it, but that's usually the case. And it's finished strong. All right. So we're going to go over the website. We're going to put content up. Eric and I are going to be at the draft tonight. We do pro college. We do college and high school. Pro college, high school content. Arizona-centric. Devin did his race report, and he actually did a high school notebook that I haven't read yet that looks pretty interesting over on the west side, which is cool. So thanks, Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything. Have yourself a great day.